This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look.
We're also living in a grown-up world. Will a strong statement to, you know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it. That statement was not acceptable. Didn't get very much play, relatively speaking, but that statement was not acceptable. But I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it. And that's the way it's going to be.
There's President Trump describing how he talked to Putin behind closed doors and pointing out what he sees as, well, failures, too, in that interview on the part of the Obama administration in confronting election interference. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich with me now. Sir, good to have you back on our program here. You wrote a piece at FoxNews.com. Here's the headline, The Truth About Trump, Putin, and Obama. It's a good piece. What's the truth?
Well, look, I felt compelled to write it. As you know, when the president misspoke the other day in Helsinki, I immediately tweeted out that it was a mistake, the biggest mistake I thought of his presidency up till now, and they had to, he had to correct it immediately. And within 24 hours, he gave a pretty long talk in which he, frankly, got out, I think, pretty well got out of what he had said at Helsinki. Helsinki was just a mistake. He was too enthusiastic. He had spent too many hours with Putin, and he was just sort of rocking and rolling. And that's, you can't do that when you're the president, because the whole world is watching you. And when you make a mistake, the whole world shakes and shudders. And I think, I hope that the president's learned something from that. But I wanted to write this particular op-ed at FoxNews.com, which is also my newsletter, to make the following case. It's a really two-part case.
Uh-huh.
Part one is, by any standard, Trump is tougher on Russia than Obama ever dreamed of. He's expelled 60 Russian agents from the country. He has closed 4 Russian offices. He has imposed sanctions on over 100 Russian individuals and companies. He has provided offensive weapons to the Ukrainians, which Obama always refused to do. So when you go down the list of actions, Trump has been much tougher on Russia. And he also, by the way, at NATO said, increased the amount of spending, whose only purpose has to be to have a stronger NATO to contain Russia. He then said to Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, exactly correctly, don't buy natural gas from Russia. You're giving them hard currency. Now, all of those are steps to weaken and constrain Russia as a country. And I think in that sense, he gets a bad rap. But the other side is, the Obama people who have been the harshest, Brennan, for example, who used the word, I think, traitor or treason, Jim Clapper, who was the director of national intelligence, Comey, who basically said nobody can be a vote Republican and be a patriot, in one of the, I think, nuttier tweets of the year. All of these guys failed. They were the people responsible in 16, not Donald J. Trump. He was a candidate. They were in charge of our national security. They failed, and they're now hysterical in trying to get us to look at Trump rather than look at them.
Mm.
It was their failure. They didn't do their job. And I think whatever the Russians got away with was because of the weakness of the Obama administration.
You know, this is a ploy, you know, from the left and certainly from the previous administration, from the operatives, as Newt Gingrich points out. This happened on their charge. This is their fault. And, you know, we've heard us say many times that we're asking Donald Trump to clean up the messes on aisle 2, 3, 4, and they just keep mounting up here. And, you know, and he's doing that in a sense with his hands tied behind his back. Because the mainstream media is not giving them any kind of support whatsoever when you got 90% of the reporting to the negative of Donald Trump. As Newt Gingrich tweeted out here, you know, about 15 hours ago, he says the intensity and nastiness of Brennan and Clapper and their attacks on Trump about Helsinki is an attempt to distract attention from their failure to protect America. It is their failure. It was their duty in 2016, not candidate Trump's. So we have to keep that in context and in perspective here. And, of course, they're doing everything to cover their back ends because this is on them. This is on the Obama administration, as we maintained, in terms of the collusion and the meddling that took place. I mean, we're talking about Russia, but we had graver meddling here in the U.S.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That's the way we roll here, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez, who we're coming at you live. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com for everything that you need to know as we continue our commitment to you to get this country back on track and to do it based on a biblical worldview and the truth, because it is that important. Why waste our time, waste our money and our resources by getting caught up in all this fake news? Wayne Gruden joins us now. He's a research professor of theology and biblical studies at Phoenix Seminary in Arizona, a graduate of Harvard, where he earned his B.A., Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, where he received his master's in divinity, and the University of Cambridge, where he got his doctorate, served as president of the Evangelical Theological Society as a member of the Translation Oversight Committee for the English Standard Version of the Bible. Wayne, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Great to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you, Bill. Good to be with you.
Well, I want to talk about your new book, Christian Ethics, An Introduction to Biblical Moral Reasoning. And boy, I'll tell you, the time is right for us to do some studying in light of the pulverization of our culture. You know, for those Christians who haven't woke up yet and realize that, you know, I think it was, you know, President Obama who made an earlier announcement that we were no longer a Christian country, and it has been downhill ever since. So we need to realize that we are becoming more pluralistic and at the speed of light.
Well, Bill, I'm concerned, as you are, about the trends in society, trends away from a sense of accountability to God for our moral actions. And so I wrote this book to help Christians understand what the Bible teaches about how to obey God faithfully in their daily lives. Paul says in the book of Colossians, in Colossians 1, that he wants Christians to live in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And that's what I was trying to do in this book. I was trying to explain to Christians what the Bible teaches about how to live everyday issues in how to live in a way that's pleasing to God in the ordinary issues and the events that confront us each day in our ordinary living.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Dr. Gruden, that what has happened is because of the perception of the grayness of our life, that somehow there's some gray perception here. You know, I believe Christians need to understand that God is just and righteous. And in that understanding of who God is, we need to understand that it's black and white. There is no gray. There is no theory here. It is absolutely specific. And I often reference the conversation with Cain in Genesis, where he tells Cain, if you do right, will it not go well for you? And that, to me, echoes through the millennia. And that right, you know, some of us think, well, right, you know, what is right? Well, what God speaks of is, you know, in that right, it's if we do righteous, if we do everything that reflects the righteousness of God. And it is that uncompromised, hard line understanding of what righteousness is that will hold us to the truth and keep us out of trouble.
Well, Bill, I'm concerned as you are about Christians having so many questions about what is right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I think the Bible has clear teachings, but we live in a culture that doesn't have a sense of accountability to God. I look at the book of Acts, chapter 17, where Paul had his opportunity to speak to these pagan Greek philosophers in Athens. And he said, God commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. There's judgment coming and people are going to be held accountable. And I think our pulpits, our pastors, our local Bible studies and homes need to be teaching these things, teaching that there is a sense of accountability to God that everybody should be aware of.
Some might interpret that, you know, Dr. Gruden, as a fire and brimstone statement. I say set that aside. I mean, outside of how you want to interpret it, the reality is you're exactly right. There is accountability to God. And if we let go of that, then we enter into that rhythmic verse in the book of Judges. We begin to see things according to our own eyes.
Yes, and the long list of sins that Paul lists in Romans 3, he ends with, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And I think that's what we have in our society. Now, as I say that, I have to clarify, Bill. People might be listening to me and saying, what are you saying, we're saved by good works? No, we're not saved by good works. We're justified by faith alone. I've taught theology for 41 years, and of course I certainly emphasize that. Our sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus and his atoning work for us. But the question comes up, after I've trusted in Jesus for forgiveness of my sins, now what? How do I live? How does God want me to live? And that's why Paul says to the Colossians, he wants them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And the Bible is filled, especially the New Testament now, that directly applies to Christians today. It's filled with practical, helpful, wise directions on how to live our lives in issues like telling the truth and not lying, issues of abortion, euthanasia, suicide, pornography, marriage, divorce, remarriage, homosexuality, stewardship of money, care for the poor, care for the environment. The list goes on and on. Capital punishment, war, honoring father and mother, respect for government. These are ethical issues that Christians deal with every day. And I've tried to, and I think the Bible is written in a way that we can understand it, but we need to break through the sense of confusion that's in society today, moral confusion, and say, no, the Bible isn't that hard to understand, and it is possible to seek to know God's will in the Bible and then to follow it in daily obedience, and there will be blessing that comes. Exactly. I have a whole chapter 5 in the book, on the blessings and joys of obedience and the harmful consequences that come from sin in the life of a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to go back and revisit what you had to say about good works. Two points here. Good works are a manifestation of your faith. They come out of that. That's what Paul said. The other thing is let's pause for a moment and talk about what are good works. Because sometimes we might think we're doing a good work, but it is not connected to God in such a way that honors God that it's more honoring to ourselves. That should not be confused as good works, right?
Paul says in Romans, whatever is not of faith is sin. And so I try to make clear in this book, Christian Ethics, that God is concerned not only with our acts, but also with our heart attitudes and with developing a personal character trait that are indicative of holiness of life and a commitment to God in our heart.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Wayne Gruden, his new book, Christian Ethics, An Introduction to Biblical Moral Reasoning. Many questions, not enough answers. And maybe because we don't have the answers because we're not searching. You know, we'd much rather complain maybe and say, well, it's too difficult to understand. And, my friends say other things. But why shouldn't we go to the source? Why should we not go to God and ask these questions? We're going to talk more with Dr. Gruden on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Now there's a proven powerful anti-inflammatory that absorbs 40 times better. Yes, NanoCurcumin Plus from One Planet Nutrition contains smaller particle size that allows absorption over 40 times better into your bloodstream. NanoCurcumin Plus may also help reduce pain and inflammation, detoxify, and help against heart disease and diabetes. NanoCurcumin Plus is now on sale at OnePlanetNutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at OnePlanetNutrition.com. The next generation of nutritional supplementation.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.
Bill Martinez.
For everything exists to lift you high, so alive. And if the wind goes where you send it, so alive. If the rocks cry. We'll be right back.
Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Peter Haslam, a senior fellow at the University of Cambridge, the director of Transforming Business, has this to say about Dr. Grudem. He says, Wayne Grudem has a rare gift making complex theological and ethical concepts accessible. He also has an encyclopedic knowledge and an organized analytical mind. I think you've gotten a little peek of that in the first segment here. All this is fully evident in this important book, which provides an invaluable resource to both scholars and practitioners. That would include all of us. Dr. Grudem's new book, Christian Ethics, An Introduction to Biblical Moral Reasoning. Dr. Grudem, as we were talking in the previous segment here, this pluralistic society has really confused the agency of the church and the people in it. And we should know better. We're told not to be of the world, that we're in it, but there is a clear delineation. And this graying of our role and responsibility as God's voices, as God's co-laborers, you know, to bring people to the gospel and knowledge of Jesus Christ is compromised when we get inside the bubble of the culture.
I see in this book, Bill, something similar to what you just said. I say the book contains a challenge because I'm concerned that teaching about ethics has been neglected in many evangelical churches today. And that's partly because the issues seem complex, and it's partly because pastors don't want to be accused of sounding legalistic, and partly because the non-Christian culture is just hostile to Christian moral values. So anyone who teaches on biblical ethics is likely to be criticized by unbelievers. So the challenge in the book is for Christians today to live lives of personal holiness, and those lives will often be distinctly different from those of others in the secular culture that surrounds us. Mm-hmm. But Paul says we're not to be conformed to the world, but in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that word, the Greek word for testing there, indicates it's something you do by putting into practice obedience to God's moral standards, and you find out that these are really good for us. They're good and acceptable and perfect. They really make our lives function in the way that God intended us to function.
And we realize that experientially, do we not? I mean, that's what you're saying.
Yes, I've listed 17 blessings that the New Testament specifies that come for living in obedience to God, and then six negative consequences that come from willful sin. The New Testament doesn't beat around the bush. It tells us to, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the condition of the church today, and I've been greatly challenged by my readings and research. Barna had done an extensive study about, you know, the church's, you know, holding of a biblical worldview. The qualifications as they defined a biblical worldview didn't involve some just incredible, extraordinary theological study. It was just the basics. And what they discovered was that less than 50%, or maybe around 50%, of the senior pastors in the pulpits today held to a biblical worldview. That's very dangerous. I mean, it goes to your point in terms of what, the church is teaching today. Maybe they're just so concerned about the buildings that they owe mortgages on, maybe ego coming into play, whatever it is. But you said in the very first segment, you talked about accountability to God. And that is my prayer for the senior pastors and for the churches and those of us who participate in church today, is that we need to take God seriously. You know, just like that question that came out of the Garden of Eden, you know, when Satan confronted Eve, did God really say? Yeah, God did say. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and even a former president who questions whether or not God really said that homosexual marriages was okay, and to come out with some sort of conclusion that Jesus said it was okay for gay couples to marry.
We're covering a lot of topics here, but I kind of want to just agree. I'm concerned about the lack of ethical teaching in churches in our country and around the world. But I do want to say, I think it's fair that we say at this point that there is another side to that issue, and that's an encouraging side, and that I am aware of, and I'm sure that you are aware of, too, a number of faithful pastors who are faithfully teaching God's word and whose listeners in their congregations are being fed and nourished by a faithful proclamation of Scripture week after week, and they are standing firm. And I just want to encourage people who are taking that kind of stand that God sees, God knows, He will understand, and He will approve and bless a ministry that's faithful. I see when Paul talks to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he said, "I'm innocent of the blood of all of you because I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. I did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God." And he knew that he was accountable to God for preaching everything that the Bible teaches and affirms. He could say after 3 years of teaching in the city of Ephesus in the ancient world that he didn't shrink back from or fail to declare to them the whole counsel of God. So I think there are pastors who fall in that category too, and I want to encourage them and say that I hope this book is a help and a factor in clarifying and strengthening their faithful labor.
And it will. I'm confident, Dr. Grunem, that it will encourage those who already are there, and for those that are somewhere in between that need to hear this and maybe get reconnected with, you know, their first love, so to speak. You know, falling in love with the Word of God and knowing that it is, black and white, that God really did say. And I can appreciate in our humanity of dealing with the pressures of running a church, being responsible for the souls that God has entrusted to you, responsibilities of stewardship and all this, they can be challenging. But at the very foundation of all this is, where does our faith rest?
Yes, I want to agree with you again, Bill. We've got this strong statement by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. That training in righteousness is what I think we need more emphasis on today. Because, again, I'll just repeat, there are Christians who know that their sins have been forgiven, but they're saying, now help me understand what the Bible teaches about how to be obedient. And there are questions that come up that are difficult. What about lying and telling the truth and the complexities in that issue? How do Christians know the will of God in facing a difficult decision or a difficult situation? Are there times when the only choices we have are sinful? I think no. I think we're never facing a situation where we just have to choose the lesser sin. And how should Christians use the Old Testament for ethical guidance? How can we understand those moral laws in the Old Testament? We understand that some of them we're not obligated to keep, but what is a wise approach to understanding those laws that were given for Israel at that time? How do they inform us and give us wisdom today? So those are some of the questions that I try to address in this book on Christian ethics.
And our marching orders out of this is that we could come alongside the body of Christ, coming alongside, elevating one another. Because some of us get it. Some of us are down the line a little bit more than others. And that's our responsibility, is not to shovel it all off on the senior pastors and say it's their fault, right? We have a responsibility in the body of Christ to serve one another, do we not?
Yes. And, you know, I hope, Bill, that this book, just as I got an email last night from someone who got a copy of it and began to read it, a couple that I know. And they said, well, thank you. It's so helpful. I read the book, the chapter on aging and death, and it was very helpful.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump now expressing his condolences over the duck boat tragedy on a lake in Missouri last evening. In a tweet this morning, the president says, "Such a tragedy, such a great loss. At least 13 people confirmed dead, several others still missing after that amphibious vehicle goes under on Table Rock Lake during a wind-whipped thunderstorm last evening." In Iowa, authorities say it's miraculous that nobody died as 27 tornadoes swept across the central part of the state yesterday.
Oh, my God. Honey, get inside. They just went to house.
Wow.
That from a video posted online by a man who watched as his neighborhood was flattened, cars flipped over, dozens of people were injured, but again, luckily, no one was killed. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Before the top of the hour, we're going to talk learning and the education of our children. Why is there such a big discrepancy here? Why are children not learning? Why is it that girls seem to be more successful in our educational institutions than boys? If you've been looking at the numbers, it's pretty crazy, pretty scary, all at the same time. Especially for those of us that have boys, young boys, grandchildren, going into the system, and you say, why can't we figure this out? Well, Katie Novak joins us right now. She is an assistant superintendent of the Groton Dunstable Regional School District in Massachusetts. She's a leading expert on universal design for learning implementation, and we're going to be talking about her new book, Let Them Thrive, a playbook for helping your child succeed in school and in life. Katie, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thank you for, coming after this topic. I mean, there are many questions about this. We see the research. We see how poorly American students are doing. We see that girls doing better than boys. That's, kind of a scary forecast, and it doesn't serve, 50% of our population here. Something's quite wrong. So what are you seeing?
So what's really interesting is in our world today, we kind of, acknowledge and embrace the fact that we're all very different from each other. Mm-hmm. And, we know that when we go into stores to buy some clothes or when we go to a restaurant, we see this menu. And yet when we walk into classrooms, things are still looking really one size fits all. Mm. You know, there's not a lot of choice. There's not a lot of personalization. And often education is designed for this mythical average student who really doesn't exist. And so what we end up with is this institution where all of these kids come in who are wildly different from each other and have different interests and passions, and all of them have so much potential and so many goals. And then we boil it down to, now you're all going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that just simply doesn't work anymore. And, you know, for a really long while, the purpose of school was the acquisition of knowledge, which made sense when there weren't things like Google and Alexa and Siri. And
right.
We really need to inspire all our kids to be, you know, creative thinkers and problem solvers. And we need to do this through like a self-directed, personalized education for all kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that's a task when you think that you're going to have a customized format here. It seems like we've had a little bit of the fulcrum, you know, go 180 degrees the other way in this one size fits all kind of thing, and more dictated from on high as opposed to allowing the teachers in the classroom to take, to have some flexibility. It's like, are you still accomplishing the main goal here, or are the goals so dictated and so confined that you have to follow the system? And because of that, teachers are frustratingly not as successful. They feel like they don't have a fair chance to win. And by that, I'm talking about being productive. Nobody wants to work at a job. And, you know, if you're, imagine you're a brain surgeon, you're killing 9 out of 10 people, then I often say, then maybe that's not your gig. And so if you're a school teacher and you're frustrated by the shackles of the system that are holding you back and keeping you from doing what instinctively you know would be best for that child, that's got to be very frustrating for educators.
Yeah, you know, I always say that teachers are doing the best they can with what they have. And again, it's not our teachers or it's not our students who are disabled in any way. And the framework that I'm really passionate about is called Universal Design for Learning. And this concept of universal design is that it's nothing. Our kids are not broken. Our teachers are not broken. We've really created these systems that are broken. And as you said, a lot of the times we have these goals and these standards. And actually, the goals and the standards are not in any way formulaic. You know, the goals are things like we want students to learn how to write a really effective argument, or we want kids to write a really great informational piece. And that's all the goals dictate. The problem is that oftentimes districts and schools will move towards a really scripted curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so you can think, like, imagine yourself as a student, and I say, like, what's something that you really, really want? You know, you want to change the world. You want to buy something. You want to convince someone to go to a restaurant. You're going to learn about, like, these three rhetorical strategies, and then I'm going to show you how you can use those to argue something that's really, you know, important to you, for example. And what we often end up with is, like, now every kid's going to write a 5-paragraph essay on why we should create a turtle conservatory, you know, at the zoo. You know, things that are just not necessarily interesting to every kid. And, you know, again, we want to give teachers and kids the freedom to say the goal of learning the art of rhetoric and argument is really, really important. And there's so many different ways that you can learn the strategies and then express what you know. But that means that we really have to embrace and honor everyone as individuals.
Mm-hmm. So what happened, you know, that we got away from reading, writing, and arithmetic, that those were clear set goals, overarching goals, and that if we were true to those disciplines, arguably you could say, were the kids better off then as opposed to now?
You know, I think that we're always kind of from learning and moving forward. It's education is kind of this goal of continual improvement. We have this great adventure in front of us, this great journey, and we want kids mm-hmm. to be really successful. And the way that we define success in our world is just, it keeps changing, you know? And so I think that it's not about better or worse, but in moving forward and helping kids to see that this concept of just getting really good grades in a one-size-fits-all predictable way does not make someone a great success story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes someone a great success story is that, you know, they're creative and they're self-directed and they can go after their own goals, and that's outside of content. And so this whole concept of let them thrive is not only about how do we teach the standards? How do we teach content standards? But how do we teach kids how to learn and be inspired and go after what they want to go after in life?
Exactly.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, we really need to teach the, you know, our future to say, whatever you want in this world, there's ways to go out and get it. But you have to persist and you have to be resourceful. And, you know, that's really what school should be about, is inspiring a generation as opposed to creating classrooms who can regurgitate knowledge that is at my fingertips in my back pocket.
Well, I say in part it has to start with educators, that they have to be allowed to be inspiring. You know, that their creativity cannot be stifled. That you know, in a sense, you say, okay, here's the mission. This is where we want to end up at the end of the school year. And, you know, we want to be on that trajectory. The how-to is, you can figure that out. There's going to be some guidelines, you know, that here's some suggestions and guidelines for it. But if we get there, if we get to the end result, are we better off that way, allowing for teachers to be creative, for them to be inspiring, the kids therein to be inspired, and even the parents, because the parents are going to be enthusiastic when they see that their kids are getting something out of school, will they not?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. And again, we're all, you know, it's the silly old saying of it takes a village to raise
yes.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always say, you know, if there's disconnect between parents and teachers and administrators, it's silly, because we all want the same thing. You know, we all want these kids mm-hmm. to be wildly successful. You know,
and for all the money we're investing in education, Katie, I mean, it's like, come on, we're smarter than this.
Right. No, you're so right. It's really about, do we value the process of learning? And a lot of the curriculum that I see coming out is not valuing the process of learning mm-hmm. so much. It's very much dictated by the teacher. And ironically, you know, I always say to my teachers, I have amazing colleagues in Groton Dunstable, and I always say, if I want you to just stand up and read out of a manual, all I'd have to do is hire someone who could read.
Mm-hmm.
I need
yes.
a teacher for that. You know,
right.
You need a teacher to make connection with kids, to find their individual strengths, and then to give those kiddos options and choices for how they're going to learn, how, you know, they're going to express what they know. And, you know, there's so many different mm-hmm. tools to be able to do this. And the concept
Katie,
behind
Katie,
that
we got to go. We got to go to a quick break
oh,
here.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to this next segment of the conversation with educator Katie Novak right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you've lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Health
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
So speak life to the dead and darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken hearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love, you speak.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez. Live.
All about you and for you, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining in and sharing a part of your day with us. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation continues with Katie Novak. You know, parents want their kids to be successful. Teachers do, too. And we can all use all the help we can get, right? And let them thrive. Katie's new book, A Playbook for Helping Your Child Succeed in School and in Life, Master Teacher, Mother of Four, reveals the most effective strategies for supporting all kids in becoming successful lifelong learners. Katie, this idea of UDL, how much penetration has there been in the current educational system to embrace UDL?
I am actually super excited to answer that question because I really think we're at the beginning of something really big. Mm-hmm. The Every Student Succeeds Act, which is the federal legislation that replaced No Child Left Behind in December of 2015, actually endorses UDL as like the framework to meet the needs of all students. And it endorses it multiple times. And so right now we're actually moving from the planning phase of the Every Student Succeeds Act into like the implementation phase. And there are, you know, over 20 states who have explicitly written UDL into their state plans. And so as we move into this fall, I think that there's going to be families and students from all across the country who are going to start to see this really amazing shift happen where, you know, instead of going into school and getting this one size fits all, there's all of these different opportunities for kids to personalize their education. And I think one really good analogy to kind of explain how is this different is to think of an ice cream truck. So I'm from outside of Boston, and ice cream trucks are kind of like a big deal here in New England during the summer. You know, it'll be super hot at the beach, and an ice cream truck rolls up, and my four babies, they get so excited. Mm-hmm. And they run up to the ice cream truck, and on the side of the ice cream truck, there's all these options and choices. Yeah. You know, there's bottled water, and there's bomb pops, and there's ice cream sandwiches. And all of our kids, when they go to school, they know those options exist. You know, they know they can learn from a teacher lecturing or from a podcast or a video or a demonstration or a book, and they know there's options to share what they know. You know, they can write songs or write essays or make movies or do projects. And so the reason an ice cream truck is so appealing is because when you go up and you see all your options, you get to have a choice. You get to say, you know, that's the best thing for me. Mm. And in school, they kind of walk up to this ice cream truck, and then the teacher's like, I'm lecturing for an hour, or we're going to watch this video.
Right.
And this is because we've created systems that make teachers think that that's what they're needed to do. And in my experience, what I've realized is that teachers are like so hungry to start putting out these options and choices because if you were to go to an ice cream truck, Bill, what would you want to get from an ice cream truck?
Oh, right now, a chocolate fudge ice cream.
But that's not what I'm serving today because everyone's going to have a nut bar. You know, and that's kind of what school feels like sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kids are like, oh, I would love to learn about the Civil War by, like, you know, going online and checking primary source documents. And then someone else is like, oh, I want to hear the teacher. The teacher's so inspiring. You know, and when I say, well, what I planned for today was to everyone to have this, like, nut bar. You know, it's like pecans and chocolate. You know, even though you want chocolate fudge, I want you to have this nut bar. And then what you start realizing is, well, not everybody can have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have some people who say, wait, I have a nut allergy. I'm lactose intolerant. And so sometimes we have barriers to access. When we do things in one way, we just have kids who can't access it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alternative is you say, well, that's just not what I wanted. Like, I wanted a chocolate fudge bar. I didn't want that nutty bar. And that's an engagement problem, you know? And so when we provide options and choices, we can eliminate the barriers to access and engagement, and we can allow students to make choices where they're really authentic and meaningful and valuable. And guess what? We're still all going to meet the same goal of, like, getting this really cold, refreshing treat on a hot summer day.
Exactly.
And in the classroom, we can all still understand the causes of the Civil War, and we can solve equations, and we can write argument papers, you know, and it's really about, like, the teacher becoming, like, a learning ninja. Like, these are all your options. These are all your choices. Let me facilitate so you learn how to learn.
This is going to be a cultural shift. I mean, how are the teachers? I think on one hand, it could be exciting, especially for the teachers that are flexible. You are really giving them, a blank check here, which is exciting on some manner. But there's some teachers that, they're going to resist a blank check.
You know, and the thing is that just as students have, like, really significant variability,
mm-hmm.
Teachers do also. And
right.
So there's not one way to introduce this to teachers. And that's my work. I get to be kind of like a teacher of teachers, which is, like, the greatest job ever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I acknowledge when I bring this to colleagues, if I say, okay, we're all going to do UDL in this way, it's going to be the same thing that I don't want to happen in classrooms. And so it's like, okay, as a first step, I want you to learn a little bit about what this might look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's your options. You could take a graduate course. I can come in and model a lesson for you. You can read a book. You can do a Twitter chat. You could listen to this podcast. You know, I can just slap this bad boy on my list of PD now.
Mm-hmm.
And you start realizing that you say to teachers, I embrace your variability too, and I'm not going to one size fits all you as an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Let Them Thrive is really about, is to help parents see what teachers are up against. And why, you know, there are some barriers possibly to the engagement of teachers. But just as we know that if we provide relevant, authentic, meaningful experiences for people to meet goals that are meaningful, and that goal right now is that all students are successful, I have never worked with a teacher who wasn't on board in their own way in creating their own personalized journey to create more personalized opportunity for our kids.
So universal design for learning, as far as the teachers, what is the first day of school look like under UDL?
You know, I think it's really about creating conditions of nurture for kids and saying this needs to be a safe place for all of us. And throughout the year, I'm going to give you some options and choices for how you're going to learn and how you're sharing what you know. And this is all so we can all reach the same goals, but we're different. And so first, we have to realize that we're different and embrace those differences. And so the next part is inclusion, is allowing every kid to feel included and to feel every kid like their strength. And so what I would do is, you know, on the first day of school, I'd be like, let's just talk about like what our goals are and what our strengths are. And then and the last is setting up collaboration, is because we all have different strengths, you know, and because there's all things that we're working on and we have different goals, if we work together, we're going to be in a much better space. So, you know, teaching kids about the importance of collaboration. And so I think setting up those conditions where we say, we're going to take risks, we're going to try different things, we're going to support each other, and ultimately, I'm going to facilitate and monitor your progress and to make sure that you're meeting those goals. And so, you know, a really accessible example is, like, if you and I were both going to sit down and write a paper and we were in the same class, traditionally, it would have been, here's your prompt. You're both going to write about this, and you're both going to write a rough draft, and then you're both going to, you know, use the same graphic organizer, and you're both going to outline. And it's funny because so many people write in very different ways, where I might want to do my first draft on the computer. You might want to handwrite it. You might want to talk to somebody before you start writing. I might want to get right into it and put on headphones. We might want to write about different things. You know, you might want to research out of books. I might want to go online. And UDL acknowledges that. And it's not like a playground where we say, do whatever you want, but a framework to say, if we're all going to get to the top of the mountain, there are so many different paths we can carve to get there. And when parents understand that this is endorsed in legislation and this is something that their kids have a right to get, the question is how, and let them thrive is we have to empower teachers and we have to empower administrators to deconstruct these traditional systems we've created because we value kids and we want better outcomes for all of them, as you said, not half of them, not a quarter of them.
Right, exactly. Well, Katie, I guess I'm looking for specifics here as to what this actually looks like. I mean, I'm excited about what this can do. But how is it implemented? And I'm excited for you. I think as an educator, you've got all these laboratories and you're going to be able to tap into them to find out, okay, what's working, what's not working. And this is a rather dynamic and exciting process. But, getting back to base one, okay, the first day of school, okay, you talk about the theory and the whole deal. Now I set out and say, okay, now this is our project. Now that we know where we're going, this is the first project to lead us in that direction. What does that look like? Okay.
So pick any grade. What grade do you want me to talk about?
Let's say sixth grade. Sixth grade.
Okay.
We've got history. We've got science to deal with. We've got math issues to deal with. How do we attack either one of those?
Okay, great. So they come in, it's history, we say, okay, you know, what we're going to do here at sixth grade, we do a lot of ancient civilization in sixth grade, and in order to really understand civilization, I want you to understand culture. And so the first thing you need to understand is these different aspects of culture. So you're going to take the first half hour, and you're going to choose to answer these five questions about culture, but you can work together, or you can work alone, you can go on a laptop and look up things online, or you can use books. I'm going to have a small group over here with me if you want to work with me. And all of us are going to find the answers to these questions. And you can answer the questions by a kind of drawing. You can write words. You can type it in your iPad. And then we're going to come back together and have a discussion.
So it's not like we're abandoning some discipline here. I mean, there still needs to be some structure to all this, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's still a goal that holds everybody together.
Okay. All right. To be continued, Katie Novak, I look forward to getting an update on UDL and the success of the program. We thank you so much for being with us, author of the book, Let Them Thrive, a playbook for helping your child succeed in school and in life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com, That's NUTRIMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
You have